Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
DNVR Draft Pod. That's right. Dun, 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 presented dun, dun. By Raising Cane's. Merry Christmas to all. Go get yourself some tender chicken fingies made to order.
Yes.
Dip them in that cane sauce and enjoy this beautiful draft day with us all. It's my favorite day of the year. The mocks get crazy. Everyone releases a mock day of. Everything's gone wild. We got to rethink Penix. We got to rethink where the trade-ups actually happen. Wow. I cannot wait for today. I think as unpredictable a top 12 as we've had in a long while. And I'm joined here by my guys who will be with me at the Breck Farmhouse tonight for a live broadcast. Justin Michael, Henry Chisholm, J-Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Like you said, I mean, it's a year's worth of work all culminates with this weekend. I'm excited to be with our longtime partners, Breck Brew. We got the OG pod back together with me and Hank and Dre.
Yeah.
It feels like it's 2019 all over again.
Wow. That is pretty crazy. Yeah, no, today's going to be crazy. Like, this is, I mean, the draft day is always a big day, but this could be a really big day for the Broncos. If they decide to draft a quarterback, like, there may just be, like, a new face of the Broncos. I mean, potentially for, like, a decade and a half. They could also just bite the bullet and say, we're not any good this year. We should just get better and then deal with the quarterback thing next year and give them a real chance. But
it's a big day. That decision, one way or another, is huge.
It is so huge.
Because you're either committing to someone this year and almost certainly won't be in on quarterbacks next year, maybe the year after that, too. And hopefully a decade plus, like you just mentioned, or you're going all in. It's one or the other right now. Getting into a mock roundup here in a sec, because the mocks of the morning of day one are always the most interesting. But the tea leaves I'm reading are the ones I want to get into first. I always get into draft props. There's a ton that I have fun with. I created a whole list for you here, fellas. I've got 16 different draft props in my bet slip right now. And
isn't that the max?
I've actually placed bets.
Oh, wow. So these aren't like got them and thinking about them.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've wow. There's then a list of six that
putting his money where
about.
His mouth is.
Yeah. I love it. And right now what we're seeing is, like all the mocks, 1-2-3 seems locked in. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May.
Now seems locked in.
Seems locked in, exactly.
Seems as those the Patriots are scary.
The Patriots are very scary. And there is some murmurs. Maybe Jaden Daniels not a fan of the Commanders, whatever. They might just go ahead. What's interesting though, Henry, is the odds of JJ McCarthy's team to draft him. The shortest odds at just +160 is the New England Patriots, who are drafting at 3. So the odds makers are telling us Drake May still odds on favorite to go 3rd overall, but the Patriots are the odds on favorites to take JJ McCarthy.
Yeah. I want to pull these up too, because I want to be looking around. I'm curious, what are JJ McCarthy's odds to be number 3 overall?
They go look them up. Okay. They're far lower than Drake May's. What I think the book is telling us is,
yeah, +225.
The top 3 remains the same, but at 3rd overall, it'll be the Giants, who are presently at 6, or the Vikings, who obviously are the big team to be moving up, rumored to do so. And then the Patriots would move back up to 5, where J.J. McCarthy has the shortest odds of being the 5th overall pick,
despite all the mocks this morning, surprising us with J.C. Latham, the Alabama offensive tackle, being the favorite to be selected by the Chargers at fifth overall. He's the second shortest odds at five. So if you read into it, so to recap, Patriots move down from three, either at six with the Giants or 11 with the Vikings, then move back up to five where the Chargers are, if they're locked into J.C. Latham, well, you can move down a few spots. Oh, yeah. We were prognosticating Joel to be offensive tackle one at seventh overall. Mm-hmm. So Latham, you could wait till 11, right? That works. No problem.
Absolutely.
Or move down one spot to six at the Giants pick. You still take Latham. J.J. McCarthy goes to five.
We need like that crazy professor thing.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. He needs the whiteboard breaking his hand.
It's always said done that.
Here's some glasses. You got your looks smarter.
And you're not getting that anywhere else, guys. I'm telling you right now. I'm the one who's giving you these insights. Nowhere else are you getting this reading between the lines.
That's pretty crazy. No, but you're totally right, though. Like, J.J. McCarthy is the favorite to go fifth overall. I think that is people thinking like, oh, it's the Chargers. The Chargers will do it. They're not taking $100 million dead cap hit. Like, that would be an insane
Schefter
thing to do.
Was telling Greenberg yesterday, right?
Yep.
And he was like, what are you guys doing? But Greenberg doesn't have... Yes! Yes! It's the trade down, Henry.
So I wonder...
It's the trade down.
So let's see. Team to get player. Just out of curiosity, where are the Chargers... In terms of
move down. They'll be under LAC. It's alphabetical.
First off,
Justin, bad for the Broncos, seemingly, if J.J. McCarthy gets taken at five overall.
Dreams of landing a quarterback.
And, Henry, is it fair to say if there are dreams of moving up for a quarterback, that dream would be the Michigan signal caller?
I mean, that would be the heavy favorite.
Realistically, I just don't think they have the ammunition to go up for any of those top two, three. Well, I mean.
So you would hope they wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
That's right.
If they really wanted to, they might be able to convince the Patriots to drop back that far and try to get back up. But that's like I mean, we're talking Pat in that world, and I don't want to talk about training Pat.
That's where three gets tricky, because I don't think the ammo at three is there unless you truly give up a king's ransom. What's been interesting in this mock roundup, now that I've kind of given my thoughts on how I'm seeing the book and the props play out, you have a bunch of different mock drafts, and you have a couple where J.J. McCarthy is just falling to 11. Mm-hmm. That's Albert Breer has J.J. falling to 11, as does Daniel Jeremiah.
Whenever I see that, I wonder if they're doing one with no trades. It seems like we've kind of moved past that point, but... That is the first question that pops in my mind, because that's how things kind of naturally fall if there's no trade.
If they think there's a trade, I think they'd prognose. I mean, especially.
I would imagine.
Breer's mostly, right, like a newsbreaker.
I would imagine.
And then you have a couple mocks, like Peter Schrager at NFL Network or Field Yates at ESPN, who have Minnesota trading up for J.J. McCarthy, but at the 7th and 8th overall pick, rather than a swap for the 3rd or moving all the way up to the 5th.
Yep.
7th and 8th, the trade that Field Yates proposed in his mock, now that seemed much more doable, something that the Broncos could potentially stomach and pull off. And since you're the one, you know, you just said how you'd be against trading up for a king's ransom, how would you feel about this, Justin? You get number 8 from the Vikings. You trade number 11, 129, which has to be an early
8 from the Vikings? 8 from the Falcons.
That is the Vikings, yep. And a 2025 third rounder. Is that something you could stomach? So in 2025, you still have your first, you still have your second, you still have your third this year, which is your one other top 100 pick.
Yeah. Yeah, I could live with it.
And I think that's where 7-8 is the sweet spot. And so the things you're looking for as the Broncos is, Broncos fans, where does the trade occur? How early? And if you start to get in that 7-8 range, okay, now it's on. Now you could start thinking about that. The other domino to fall in all this, and James Palmer was on the pod Tuesday saying this, and since then Jeremy Fowler of ESPN's talked about this, and J Mike, we haven't had a chance to talk about this, is talks of the Falcons at 8 being interested in Penix.
I just, you put, gave Kirk 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could. So the thing is, you save like $27 million bucks if you cut Kirk after 2 years. That next year, and then he's off the books totally. The flip side is,
which makes it a 2 year contract.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. I mean, he'd still count like 26 against the cap because that contract is crazy, but you save 27.
It's not that kind of
deal. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to double check this, but I would imagine you could trade him after this season.
There'll be a market. There's always a market for Kirk Cousins. If we have learned anything in the last decade, there's a market for Kirk Cousins.
He's also coming off an injury. And think of this, J. Mike. He was, when Kirk Cousins was drafted, that's the Andrew Luck RG3 draft. Tannehill's in the top 10, and Russ is in the third round with Kirk. Think of where all those guys are at. Like, how many more years does Kirk have before he falls off a cliff, just like Tannehill and Russ have the last couple seasons?
The one thing that would give me a little bit more confidence in Kirk's longevity is he's not as dependent on the mobility to be impactful. I mean, it's pretty much just precision pocket passer.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have some of that elusivity within the pocket that, I mean, Brady was obviously like the best at it. Like, he's got a little bit of that. And if he loses that, you know, I mean, that could be an issue for him.
Yeah.
But I mean, especially with how few hits quarterbacks take these days, like, I mean, I don't see why he couldn't play another 7-8 years, potentially. Maybe not at this level, but.
That pick at 8, I think, is going to be really interesting because it could just be the most boring pick, and it's Dallas Turner, and it's what everyone mocked for like 2 months. But I do see, you know, if one of the wide receivers drops because someone trades in front of them, because if four quarterbacks go in the top 7, I do think one of the top 3 wide receivers is available at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I think instead of Dallas Turner, they could go Byron Murphy. And I think then there's some other intriguing things that could go down, like a Penix. And I do think where Penix goes is the other really interesting factor to follow in the top 15 tonight.
Penix and Nix to me are like the ultimate outlier. You know, they're the big wild cards, I should say. Like, wouldn't be shocking. I mean, we've seen a lot of mocks have Penix going at 13 to the Raiders. But if he falls out of the top 15... does somebody then like consider making a move into? I mean, there's the wild card teams too. Like, could somebody like the Rams get involved if one of these guys slips a little bit?
Yeah. Could Seattle, where Geno's
shaky
and older, you know, that? So there's a few, and New Orleans, of course, at 14.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be a Derek Carr believer.
I think we're probably past that point. I mean, if the Falcons are considering drafting a quarterback, how could the Saints not be?
That's exactly right.
So that's where I stand. I mean, to
11
me,
through 14 is quarterback alley.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, except 4 might be off the board. And so then it's kind of just Penix who you can justify in that range. I get maybe somebody likes Bo Nix too, but where Penix falls is probably the most interesting thing to me because it's
the biggest domino for all of this.
Definitely. It's really been months. You know, I keep saying, like, I hope the Broncos get Michael Penix. I really like what he would bring. But
same,
you get so many people responding saying, like, well, you can't take him at 12. Just get him in the second round. It's like, well, that's – I think those days are gone. And maybe they're not. Maybe he does fall. We find out tonight. But with half of the mock draft saying Penix is actually going at number 13, you probably can't move down at all from 12 if you want Michael Penix.
We're going to get into where is Penix and Bo Nix being mocked. And I want to talk about why Penix's profile and his rise. There's a lot of C.J. Stroud there.
There is?
But first, J-Mike, what...
I want to talk about Breckenridge Brewery, where we're going to have a party tonight. Come on through. We're going to be live at 6. It's going to be epic.
Amazing.
All kinds of swag giveaways. Raising Cane's is going to be there.
We are sold out. But you can come be part of the vibes.
You can still come. That's right. Yeah, I mean, it's a big area. Plus, the farmhouse is just awesome. The food is really, really good. You can get a picture with Super Bowl 50 champion Todd Davis if you would like to. And also check out the Breck Beer Locator at breckbrew.com. Like we said, they've been with us since day one. They've got a love and passion for making good beer. I love Breck Brew. You love Breck Brew. We all love Breck Brew. We also love some chicken fingers from Raisin Cane's, guys. Raisin Cane's is the sponsor of all of our NFL draft coverage. You can order online at RaisinCane's.com or through their mobile app. Raisin Cane's chicken fingers are the best. For cook-to-order hand-battered chicken fingers, race into Raisin Cane's, turbocharge your chicken fingers, and get them even faster by ordering online at RaisinCane's.com or through the mobile app. Raisin Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Very nicely done. Back to some draft talk. As we said, Penix, Bo Nix, right here. You said half the mocks, Henry. It's 5 of the 7 I put together from this morning have Penix at 13 to the Raiders. Matt Miller has him going to 27 to the Raiders, who trade up with the Cardinals. And Ben Solak of the Ringer is the only one who doesn't have Penix in round one. Penix to go round one on Bet365 right now, minus 320?
Yep.
So a
350.
A lock.
Yeah. No, I think that ship has kind of sailed.
Sailed a month ago when he ran the 40.
Exactly. Yep, it's like, oh, wait, he had this and didn't use it? Maybe there's more here we realize. Well,
and I was hearing Diana Russini talking about how he's like the best kept secret this draft cycle. Like, no one's talking about him, but he's well-liked in NFL circles. Mm-hmm. And it's such a copycat league. I think a lot of evaluators are going to go to that scouting report and think, man, that reads a lot like CJ Stroud's scouting report. Maybe not an elite arm, but a really accurate passer. Mm-hmm. Tough offense to evaluate. Really good O-line. Great wide receivers.
I like that he threw it all over the field, though. It wasn't just quick gadget plays. Yeah. Everything underneath. Oh, we're going to get a crosser, right. A quick screen. Right. I mean, yep. He did have to still, like, yes.
Everywhere.
Can throw it from all fields.
You've got Romo Dunze, and I mean, really all three of their receivers were pretty good. But
he could get it to him.
Always there.
All fields. Plenty of arm. Maybe not Josh Allen cannon. But plenty of arm strength to get it to all fields, operates primarily from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, the knock's going to be, well, how is he when getting outside the pocket, having to go above the X's and O's?
And I would say he's a pocket passer. So just like any pocket passer, if there's no pocket, things aren't going to go well.
Guess what? Drew Brees wasn't scrambling for 20 either.
No, that's right. Nor was Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. Aaron Rodgers isn't necessarily going that way as well.
Early in his career, a little bit.
Similar to CJ Stroud, though, there's an asterisk on that weakness section because it says, unless he can tap into what we saw in the national semifinal for Stroud against Georgia, for Penix against Texas, and if that's the guy you're getting, then there's an extra tick. There's an extra upside and gear to this guy that maybe we didn't totally see in college consistently because he was operating in this awesome offense and awesome system and was able to just be the guy he needed to be, a surgical pocket passer. Mm-hmm. But in those types of settings, against NFL talents in the front seven, he showed he can scramble, get out the pocket, make all the tough passes.
Outside of like one quiet two-week stretch, he showed up in a big way every single... I mean... It's not tangible,
sure.
But like that's the thing. I genuinely thought Oregon was better than Washington. And Michael Penix won those games for Washington, went in there and kicked their ass.
So you had your conspiracy theory about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
Well, I've been having a little bit of a Michael Penix Jr. conspiracy theory myself.
Please.
I think the Broncos really like him. And I think the Raiders know the Broncos really like him. And I think that there's a real chance the Raiders might just be texting around saying, hey, we're thinking we might get MPJ at number 13, just so you know. And then all of a sudden, over the last week, it just blows up. Raiders are taking MPJ. Raiders are taking MPJ. He's going at number 13. And all of that kind of puts pressure on the Broncos to take him at 12 if you like him.
I think they're roping
because you're not going to be able to trade down. I like your conspiracy theory a lot better than mine. But this is a thought that I've had a lot.
That's a really good one. Actually, quarterback fits is one thing we haven't talked about enough. It's more broad, like the NFL likes JJ more than the media does. But now, today we get into fits.
And the fit might just be, like we were talking in segment one, JJ not to the Vikings like everyone's talking about. Yeah. Drake May to the Vikings.
Yeah.
Or Drake May to the Giants, right? Mm-hmm. Giants, there's quarterback talk, but which quarterback is it? It's not necessarily they love JJ the same as they love Drake May.
Do they want a second Daniel Jones, though?
Well, and then the Patriots. Are the Patriots in on Drake May, or are they more of a JJ Jaden Daniels team?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now let's get into Bo Nix. Bo Nix being mocked to the Broncos at 12. Broncos at 12 by Schrager. Jeremiah, Broncos to trade down with the Eagles and take him at 22. And Field Yates has the Rams taking Bo Nix at 19. The thing with the Broncos is they're the only team that seems to be connected to Bo Nix.
Which is crazy. But literally the only team where anybody's saying, like, you know, he could work out that. Like, there is nobody else where there's any buzz.
Well, and, like, JJ with the Vikings.
Exactly.
And Penix with the Raiders.
True.
Could this also just be smoke, right? Like, when something seems so obvious, is that to throw you off the scent entirely?
We're so deep into the smoke.
It's a day of smoke.
We're, like, I don't know exactly how fires work, but I imagine they're smokiest right in the middle. Like, I'm thinking, like, big fire, like, forest fire, like, the closer you get.
You got any fire insights for us?
I mean, it's the hottest in the middle.
Certainly the hottest. I'm getting a little sweaty on draft day.
I like that.
No, the smoke is at its thickest point right now, and anything is on the table tonight.
Nix at 12, especially if Penix is still on the board. What's your reaction to that? What's Broncos country's reaction to that?
I think Broncos country is pretty split between Bo Nix and Michael Penix at the moment.
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. No, I'm curious where people stand because that's obviously changed a lot. But to me personally, I would be very disappointed because I really like Michael Penix. I would take him over anybody but Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels in this draft. But then my job tonight is also to write the film room, so I'd go back and watch his three best games and talk myself into it, and I'd come back with a smile tomorrow. And hopefully that smile stays for a decade, but I'd really have some doubts.
He's such an interesting one.
Yeah.
Over Penix, though, is going to be really tough for me to swallow.
That's what it comes down to me. I'm like, yeah. I can live with a world in which the Broncos take a flyer on Bo Nix. Taking him with the 12th pick without moving down with Penix still on the board, to me, just based on what I've seen these last couple of years, if I'm going to, you know, I'm taking all my money and I'm putting it in one camp, I'm putting it in Penix.
There are also some more conspiracy theories brewing on Twitter at the moment with the Broncos. So right before the podcast, the Broncos released their jersey numbers. Mm-hmm. Zach Wilson, number 10.
Mm.
Bo Nix, number 10. So if they're going to draft Bo Nix tonight, they just gave away his jersey number the morning of draft day. I don't care, but
that's an awesome conspiracy.
It is. There's a lot of them today.
Penix is 13?
Nine.
No one wears nine in that
QB. Riley Dixon, does he still? I think Riley Dixon still does. You can get
the punter will give up his number.
Draft Torrey Taylor.
And the other thing, we do this close to draft week every year, seemingly. Last year, we were talking ourselves into how high could Will Levis go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think 2 years prior, we were talking about Kenny Pickett, Sam Howell, Malik Willis. Could they all three go round one? And, you know, it's an easy distractor, an easy buzz to set people off the scent. So this, I mean, and these quarterbacks will really swing this whole thing right here. Mm-hmm.
Did you see the... Oh, it was the clip of the Seahawks GM, I think. Or no, it was the Panthers. Xavier Leggett, I think it was last week, said that the Panthers told him that if he was still on the board at number 33, they're drafting him. And at his press conference, somebody asked the GM, like, did you really say that? And he was like, yeah, we said it to about 50 guys. Which then gets you thinking, like, I guess why not bring in a guy you know you don't like, tell him you're taking him at 33, and then whoever's at 28 is like, hey, is he still going to be there?
Yeah.
Oh, no, he's not going to be there. Got to take him. And then there's more guys you don't like off the board. That's the
all the game that's of chess we're that's in happening right now.
This is, yes. It's terrible.
It's draftception,
it's
really.
It's draftception.
And then this fun J.C. Latham thing at 5, which the best explanation I've heard is Harbaugh's going to come into the AFC West and try to do what he did when he was hired at Stanford. And there were the USC and Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of matching their speed and playmaking, he just went in and beat them the hell up. So he's going to go get the biggest, baddest bully of an offensive lineman, and that's probably J.C. Latham.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it makes sense. The proven recipe for having success against the Chiefs is playing ball control football. It's trying to limit their possessions, trying to out-physical them. You got to create some turnovers. I mean, they're going to have to work on that defense especially. But yes, I mean, offensively, they've kind of tried to do the, like, we're the flashy Chargers. We're going to score 50. And where has it gotten them? About nowhere. I know Latham had a slow start to the season. If you watch those first couple games, it's rough. But, I mean, his last 6 weeks in the SEC championship, what he did against Georgia, I mean, he's a mauler.
No, he certainly is. I mean, he is your prototypical right tackle.
Got all the size and speed you'd want. He tested well. I mean, the upside is there. You could talk yourself into it very, very easily. That said, I still think I'm a Joe Alt guy.
The upside's way higher. Olufashanu, to me, is, I mean, top five first offensive lineman in the draft, and you take the best right tackle, I think that's an oversight, you know.
Okay.
Franchise left tackle is what I'd take there. And, you know, for me, him, Fatanu's ahead of him, and then Fuaga and him are a really interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Fuaga doesn't have the length Latham has. Latham probably has more upside because of it. Fuaga, I think he's cleaner in pass pro.
Mm-hmm.
I like him just as much as like a grinder, as
worst
a
case,
run
he's
blocker.
A starting guard, and like if nothing else.
Right. Yeah. Right. Fuaga also feels like shit. If I have to just move him inside at right guard, I really like him at right guard. Yeah. Yeah. Like he's got a high first round grade for me as a right guard.
I mean, Latham, it's all talking, it's projection. That's the argument for Latham versus four.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because I think the Broncos could get Latham at 12.
I think so,
or
too.
Or a guy I just mentioned who I feel is very much lines up
it's
with
a sexy
similar
pick,
grade.
But Fuaga feels very Sean Payton, Saints rebuilding the trenches.
Mm-hmm. Fautana would be fun, too.
Fautana would be amazing.
Especially because the Broncos don't have, like, a spot for one of these guys. I've seen people say Fautana can play center, though. I can't remember who it was, but one of the big draft analysts is like, yeah, you could probably put him at center, too. The
That'd
point
be
is
a waste
though,
to me, though. Like, why would
I think
you even
so
waste
too.
Your time with that?
But that's your one That'd spot you have open.
Just what you do as rookie year instead of benching him, you know?
Exactly.
To learn
I guess.
But then the other role he could have is just the backup lineman. If you need right tackle, right guard, left guard, swing lineman, there is some value there. And I don't love the idea of drafting an offensive lineman in the first round just because it's tough to get him on the field at this point unless you move Garrett Bowles right away, but that'd be a crazy thing to do. So Fautanu is the one guy who I look at and I'm like, he's really good, and I think that he could just be like that rotational backup because there's no way, I mean, we'll knock on wood, but there's no way they're going to stay healthy all season on the offensive line again because what, McGlinchey missed one game and that was it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right now the Broncos and all the mocks projected two mocks, Dallas Turner, two mocks, Brock Bowers. Okay, we'll get into it in the next segment, actually. I won't give away that prop that I really like. Bo Nix at 12 and one at 22, and then we add a Jared Verse.
Mm.
The front seven is a very Sean Payton-y pick, like the O-lineman would be.
Yep. I think, you know, if Brock Bowers is there, you take Brock Bowers. It's open and shut. That's what you do. I mean, assuming it's not quarterback. Quarterback's a different conversation. If you're deciding we're not doing the quarterback thing, Brock Bowers is on the board, it's Brock Bowers. Outside of that, I really think trading down makes the most sense. I don't love the options at that pick. I think that you can find somebody better later. I get the appeal of an edge rusher. To me, though, I would not, like, if you draft somebody there, it's just best player available, and it's open as right. That's all it is. But
and I think the value will be on the O-line.
A lot of people want an edge rusher, and to me, I see it. You've got four dudes. You got Cooper, you got Browning, you got Benito, you got Sanders. You get to see what you have. After this year, you've got Browning and Cooper hitting free agency. You've still got Benito and Sanders. To me, that's a perfect situation when you now have $80 million in cap space to go sign yourself a true number one edge rusher.
Right.
And if any of these guys develops into that, then you can re-sign him. If it's one of those, so you can bring him back. You just have options. I don't think that there's a massive need to get a guy. I mean, if you draft a guy who turns out to be a number one, that's great. But I would almost rather just play through the season. And then if you need to give $20 million to whoever the top guy in the market is, you're going to be in a position to do that. And then you have somebody proven. And your room would make so much sense with that three-man rotation.
That's what sounds sound to me.
It's tough to argue with.
Yeah.
But no, if you're drafting at 12, you just got to do best player available. Unless you're doing the quarterback thing. If you think Leatu Latu is a guy who's going to go get you 15 sacks at some point in his career,
you just got to take what is best. If, like you said, trading down, I think there's a world in which if, let's say, like, five of your top 25 guys are still there, or even top 15 guys are still there, can you jump down, add a second round pick potentially, or another third round pick, and maybe you don't land the top one of that top five, but you get two of those top five?
Exactly. Right. Yep.
I mean, it's not too different from what we just talked about with the Chargers. JC Latham's in a tier of, you know, four or five other guys, top edge rushers. Maybe it's a tier of three, four guys instead of four, five, but splitting hairs. And you can still achieve that. You can maybe get a top edge rusher and one of those quarterbacks.
It's just a team that needs a lot more young talent across the board.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Shout out to Bet365. We're going to get into all these draft props in just a sec. Not just, you know, gathering intel from those, but also being able to win money. And right now at Bet365, you can sign up with our code DMVR365 and participate in our awesome playoff promotion, where right now each week, diehards, listeners like you can participate with us and, you know, win prizes like DMVR merch and swag, T-shirts, hats up for grabs this week. Could be sweatshirts, hoodies coming up, and then big, big prizes that only we can give you later on. Think of the beauty of going to a practice with, you know, one of your favorite podcasters, or maybe even a Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion, Todd Davis.
Wow.
Or hop on a pod live with us and give your hottest takes. I would love Jose on a pod. Jose, yes. He's really like an honor. He's basically the fifth host of the draft pod.
He basically is.
He just isn't. He's a host in right.
Mm-hmm. He's the Panamaniac. That's what we call him.
Yes, yes. I love that.
He's from
that.
Panama.
No, I get it. I get it. And then when you sign up, all you have to do, $10 deposit, place a $5 bet, and as soon as that's settled, win, lose, or tie, $150 in bonus bets for you to play with right away. Maybe some of the draft props we'll get into in just a sec will be of appeal to you. Must be 21 and plus. Physically located in Colorado, please gamble responsibly. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, wants help, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you are 21 and up, you should also check out the Breckenridge Distillery. Breckenridge Bourbon Whiskey is the official bourbon of the Denver Broncos. Look for the 2024 Broncos Bourbon Blends to hit the shelves in August. They always do like a really cool bottle design. I've gotten them as gifts a couple of times now. Really smooth, really, they pair with anything. It's nice. You could have it with a burger. You could have it by itself. Breckenridge Distillery products are available in all 50 states. Shop your local retailer or visit BreckenridgeDistillery.com for home delivery of the award-winning Breckenridge Spirits. Apres anywhere.
Did
I don't know if I said that right.
Apres?
Yeah. Apres.
I think it's opres.
Ryan's the only one who knows how to pronounce that. Alyssa,
it is
a
very
Ryan that?
Type of word.
Opre.
Yeah, I mean, it's French. I don't.
Certainly French.
Not me. Not me, dog.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Not the biggest French fan we have on the show.
All right. Well,
he's our Italian.
Settle down.
Broncos position they draft first.
This is where I think there's some interesting odds.
I go quarterback.
Starting with tight end at plus 1,000.
If they get Brock Bowers, I can't be sad.
No, I know, but what if they just do what we talked about? They move down, they still take a quarterback with one of their two first picks, but that very first pick is a cornerback, edge, tight end, O-lineman.
Quinyon Mitchell, Brock Bowers. Jared Verse, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, these guys could be around that 22.
I mean, I don't think Bowers could. I have a tough time even seeing him at 12. I really think
there's
somebody's just going to take him.
Trades projecting the Colts to move up to 10 to take
him. Huh. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But yeah, I do think the most likely thing that happens is they trade down, they grab Bo Nix, but that first pick probably isn't Bo Nix. So, yeah, I mean, cornerback and edge are probably the top of that list, and you don't know exactly how far they trade down. Maybe Byron Murphy's in play.
Yep, which, I mean, that's a pretty big need.
Yeah, I don't think it would be Brian Thomas. And
plus
probably
180 D-line slash edge, by the way.
Oh, it's a
That's
slash.
The second shortest odds.
That's interesting. I like the D-line slash edge because then you get Murphy and the edge.
Quarterback at plus 150 for the Broncos. I think that's moved.
I can't remember.
I think it was in the minus.
Interesting. I still think quarterback is probably where I'd bet. But it's tough. And tight end at plus 1,000 might be the best move.
I could even see wide receiver at plus 1,200 if you move down, you know.
I mean, there's a pretty good chance that one of those top, even two of those top four receivers are still going to be there.
There's a chance. I mean, I guess that's the other thing is if, like, Odunze is there, that's in, like, he's in that Brock Bowers conversation where he's like, you kind of just have to take him. Unless it's a quarterback.
Somebody has to fall out of those neighbors, Odunze. The tackles, corner.
I think it'll be the tackles.
Okay, let's talk about this tippy top tier because I agree. It's the three wide receivers. It's the top quarterbacks. We don't even need to get in the minutia of, for me, it's two of the top guys. For you, it's four, whatever.
Will Anderson.
Right.
Probably like the two corners, Arnold and.
Outside. To me, it's. Alt Fashanu, the top three wide receivers, and whoever your top quarterbacks are.
That'd be your top 10.
Those are my guys missing. Who are like,
that's nine.
If they drop to you and Bowers, no brainers, you got to take them.
That's, The tackles are just a little tough because
probably
the Broncos.
I think at least Fashanu or like Bowers would be available to you.
Who was saying?
Maybe
was
even Joe Alt.
Was it Field Yates saying like, everybody just keeps saying that everybody's trading up for the tackles.
That's the recent buzz.
And
the wide receivers, I think, are a hot commodity.
Yeah. No, that would make sense. But I think that's a path for receivers if teams are actually trading up to get tackles.
Well, that's going to be the path for any of these teams trading down, like Cardinals, the Chargers. They're going to try to trade back up to get one of those guys.
Yeah.
You would think.
I mean, I think that's kind of like the plan. Everyone wants to do what the Texans and Cards did last year.
Yeah, there's another tweet saying the Giants are trying to trade up to number three to get Drake May.
Place a bet on J.J. McCarthy, fifth overall is what I would say.
Fifth overall
to the
Patriots.
Is that deal
going to
be on the table, though? Like, I almost wonder if it becomes a situation where, like, with everybody trying to do the same thing, it becomes... Like stagnant fantasy football leagues where it's like no trades happen because everybody's trying to.
I mean, of course, just like we project every quarterback to go round one, top 15 come week of, we also project like it's going to be crazy. Yeah. There'll be a billion trades. And then it's like,
I think last year
was maybe like the least trades we've had in round
one
in a while. I mean, you're absolutely right.
I would guess there's one.
Maybe a second.
If JJ's your guy and you don't want Drake May, moving all the, just down to six makes
sense. It makes sense, yes.
You risk getting jumped.
That's why you move back up to five.
And that's why you got to move back up, and that's why two trades is probably
What do those sneaky Cardinals do at four is the bigger question.
They are sneaky.
Because everyone had them locked in taking Marvin Harrison Jr.
What if they're more neighborsy? What if they like Odunze? Then you trade down to what
eight?
that would
seven?
Yeah. Or you could go all the way down to 11 if you wanted and then go back up to like 8 and try to snag him.
Some props I like, you guys can give me your thoughts. A safety to go round 1. just one, plus 600. A, there's an outside shot. Cooper DeJean's drafted as a safety.
That's true.
Which, I mean, that happens. I doubt it. I'll be hyped. And then, doesn't it feel like the back end of the first, there's always some, like, safety DB that maybe surprises us and goes a little higher?
I just like,
this safety class isn't bad. I think there's a lot of top 100 guys. It's just there's not a lot of top 30 guys.
Yeah. But
like Brian Branch last year.
True. I guess he is a good example because he is somebody who you look at is just like, he's kind of a slot guy. He's a little bit limited.
Yeah.
He isn't necessarily like,
right,
like
you would, nickel
he's defender. Not a five-tool player like you'd expect a safety to be if they're going in the first round. So, yeah, maybe there is a path. Maybe a guy like a Jaden Hicks would make sense in
Jaden
that sort
Hicks
of way.
Is awesome.
I really like Tyler Newbin.
Newbin from Minnesota had a lot of buzz. Then he ran a little slow.
He
but
did.
Sometimes for safeties, that matters less. And, you know, I mean, those two guys from Georgia have been awesome.
True.
They've
yeah.
been, like, high-end SEC starters for years, J-Mike. And I like Kalen Bullock. I like Cole Bishop. Those guys ran really well.
Darius Robinson.
I love the Miami guys.
The
Missouri.
Oh, the for the D linemen.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are his odds to go round one?
That's what I was asking you.
Oh, here. I'll find that.
That's my bad. That was a bad setup.
Darius Robinson minus 400.
That high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The buzz is out.
29 and a half, I think his draft position was set at. Mm-hmm.
Looking through, Troy Franklin plus 350. That feels like one of the first picks that everybody was kind of on the same page with, which, like, he's going to the Chiefs.
Also, today's mocks had Xavier Worthy as wide receiver 4 almost
Whoa.
Across the board.
I don't get
yeah,
it.
Minus 500 to go in the first round.
It's a lot of drops.
I wonder.
It's a dude that looks really good when he's running in his underwear and not in, like,
There were times where that wide receiving core for Texas with him and Adonai Mitchell just looked insane.
And I mean, it's fair to argue that his speed probably opens some things up for Mitchell and Sanders because you're so worried about him going over the top that, like, just having him on the field is an advantage, even if he's not going to be like 100 catch a season type guy. I just
direct snaps. He can do a lot with that speed.
I just think there's
such
more proven commodities in terms of actually catching the football.
100%.
Luke McCaffrey 100%. Plus 8,000 to go in the first round.
Yeah.
80-1.
Don't think I'd take that.
I wouldn't either. I'm not sure why it's on there.
That's plus what? 80,000?
Yeah, 8,000.
8,000?
80-1.
Nate Wiggins, cornerback 3, is plus 220.
What is he cornerback 2?
I don't know, but Terry and Arnold is
Arnold
the
and McKinstry, I would assume.
Just
or Mitchell and Arnold.
Terry and Arnold running the 4-5 really just kind of killed me. You just don't see cornerbacks run 4-5s and then be
like a 4-5 flat?
4-5 flat. Give credit to him. But again, like if you look through every great cornerback, I don't think you're finding many 4-5 flats.
I disagree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I tried to look it up. I couldn't find like
Josh
a place.
Josh Norman's the first guy who comes up.
Yeah.
He was like a cover 2 zone corner.
It's true.
So it's like not a great example, but.
Exactly.
I mean.
Like, this feels like there's a ceiling there.
If you extend that to DBs, I think there's a lot of great DBs
but
who
that's
are ready
different.
4-5s. Or,
like it's all about just like that ability to just lock down anybody. And again, like that's the difference between like an all-pro.
But you need a cornerback 2 if you're the Broncos rather than a quarterback 1.
You do.
1.
But that's
I
why.
Mean,
but
that
that's
is
why.
The difference is like do you. That's why Quinyon Mitchell has a slight edge because
exactly.
he's a true man corner who I think you can trust on the island more.
Yep. And that's. But
Terrion
that's
Arnold's
why.
A converted safety though. Like
exactly. And that's why I like Wiggins.
So
I would take Wiggins
light.
Over him. He's so,
so
light, but the way he runs, the way he covers, I've just kind of gotten over the lightness.
You're the Bama guy.
Arnold's, he's a stud.
He is a stud.
I wouldn't have any issues about it, him running. I would
he's
say
polished.
That.
Plus 800 to be cornerback 2. Cooper DeJean, actually,
DeJean.
Plus 600.
Yeah, that is interesting. And Kool-Aid, too. Kool-Aid's another one who... Like, his 40 time wasn't great either, but he's
no.
just like...
And his senior year tape wasn't great either.
No. But he does feel like just plug him right in there, and he's ready to go.
Well, and we saw this with like Derek Stingley Jr. before, right? Like,
if you go 2 years ago, he's a guy you can talk yourself into really easily.
And again, there's a world where the Broncos could move down.
Mitchell's really the only guy I would pound the table for.
Me too.
And yet I still wouldn't put him in that group of like, he falls to 12, you must take him.
No, I would try and drop down and hope you can get him at like 18.
Right. He's like the first guy on my list that's after the cutoff of just trade down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Exactly. It's him, and then you get to the edge rushers, and then whoever else.
Yeah, him, Dallas Turner, Latu are very interesting conversations and very close to one another. Yep. Do you like the Wiggins CB3 bet?
No, he's too light for me.
I know. Emmanuel Forbes has burned us all. He's a dog, good, though.
He's so a dog. Good.
He competes so hard.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
Yeah, no, Wiggins is really good.
I like DeJean and McKinstry better than Wiggins. He would be my 5, probably.
Okay. Yeah, he'd be my 2. Honestly, I don't love any of them, but I really like all of them. Like, all 5 of those guys. Like, right. DeJean is sick.
Yes.
Like, they're all sick in their own ways.
Coverage, profile, and versatility is...
With if that you're willing size to use him as a punt returner.
Right. And then that's you add the special teams impact. Yeah. I mean, God.
That was what somebody... Somebody yesterday, when I took Quinyon Mitchell in the Broncos mock draft, so I was like, yeah, it'd be my pick here if I can't trade down. A lot of people were mad. One of them in particular was
me too.
Somebody saying, take Cooper DeJean because you could play him on offense too. I was like, that's not the reason you take. But yeah, no, he's a freak. Kool-Aid's a freak. Terrion Arnold is crazy productive.
Cool. Terrion Arnold is like a great football player.
Yes. Well, and you like the fit opposite of Surtain because you need a guy who's confident in getting thrown at. And the thing about him and Mitchell is they're both comfortable being on an island. They're both comfortable being in press situations.
Yep.
They've got good ball skills. They'll come up and make a tackle. Like, those are guys who, if they're in a drive and you throw at them like 3 times and 5 times, it's not going to get in their head.
Yep.
I just like the fit. Opposite of PS2, especially.
Definitely.
I do too. Couple more bets I want to get into here. Olufashanu, O-lineman 3, plus 200. So this presumes Alt, Latham in some combination because the Chargers have moved down or just taken Latham are the 2 first O-linemen. Am I spot on with Fashanu O-lineman 3?
Hang on, say that one more time. I got caught up in the comments. Shout out to our guy Cody. Sorry your phone got stolen, man.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Let's be honest, computer.
Sucks. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Olufashanu O-lineman 3. With Alt Latham being 1-2, as you'd presume.
What's the value?
Plus 200. I know, the 2 Pac-12 guys, right? The Washington and Oregon State kids scare you a little bit there.
Yep.
But I'm such a believer in Olu. Like, I think that's just been prospect fatigue, him dropping, you know? Like, I just think he's amazing. Now, does have small hands. And if I'm a zone-blocking scheme, he's not my favorite guy. Guess what? We're the Broncos. Sean Payton, not a zone-blocking scheme, so that's great.
It's true.
But still, you know. There's some zone blocking scheme teams in that range. You don't love it, though. I could just tell you're not in on it. It's okay. We've got other ones.
200 just isn't tempting to me.
I just don't know if there's enough juice for it.
Okay.
Plus 400, I would consider it.
Is there an O-lineman 3 candidate you like more? Bless you, Alyssa.
He would be my pick. No, it would be Olu.
I think Latham's going to be Olu. I think...
You do?
O-lineman 3, not O-lineman 1 or 2?
Yeah.
I mean, we are
Who
really...
Who do you think O-linemans 1 and 2 are? Alt's one of the 2.
Alt is
Who's
one.
The other one?
And Fashanu.
In a world
Fatanu.
Where...
The fucking Washington guys.
In a world where...
Fatanu.
The Chargers the trade guy. Down. Okay. Vikings go up to 5. Because I feel like the Latham thing is all just Chargers at the moment.
Yeah.
And so if the Chargers just don't take Latham.
Yes.
Then he's going to fall.
The world is open.
Yes, that's right.
So
this is I'm assuming the trades are right. Yep. Latham and Alt are both taken top 9. And Fashanu is the guy who goes in that 10 to 14 range.
Yeah.
Before Fuaga or Fatanu.
And I think of all the bets, that's the best bet. But that's a lot of calling your shot for plus 200.
No, that's what's great about these is they're like parlays.
It's like, yeah, it's
like a public to go parlay. That's right. It's beautiful. I just wish it
was like all that for plus 300.
Absolutely, man.
Plus 350.
We all wish there was better juice on the bets, right? Yeah. That's how life was better. Marvin Harrison Jr. to be wide receiver 2 plus 650.
Could you imagine?
I mean, Rome's my tonight. Number one. So, like, I think that's worth teasing.
Yeah.
But everything you're Lots seeing is telling you neighbors. That Marv is, or Neighbors, is going to go.
It's the pick
so
at 4.
I think that's, like, me, I could talk myself into it. If I'm actually advising the audience, I don't know if it's the smartest bet, but I like the juice.
Yeah.
It's a good talking point.
It's like if you want to bet on chaos tonight, that's probably the best chaos.
I mean, you
bet.
Get neighbors too, right?
Like, I'm looking for juice on chaos. Yeah.
You just not Marvin to be wide receiver 1.
Well, yeah, like, exactly.
What so is
it's maybe worth teasing.
I know.
What could you get on neighbors just to be the first receiver?
Probably better odds. You should look that up.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel very confident.
Plus 550.
Really?
Oh, so see, not as good as plus 650.
Because there's a chance Marvin Harrison's the third receiver.
Yeah, that'd be.
So I would be surprised.
We do see a team like every year take some weird receiver where you're like, wait, with
Henry Ruggs,
with Rome on the board, with you know, with Neighbors on the board, they went with Johnson, like they went with the other LSU guy, really, or Thomas.
Plus 4,000 for Marvin to be the third.
Brian Thomas throws me off because he's got the really most generic sounding name that every time I just want to call him some vert like Joe Johnson.
Yeah.
Bill this, you know.
Yep.
What about the Bengals for first pick? D lineman / edge plus 300. Trey Hendrickson, trade. Jared Verse could be right there in that spot. He's the perfect 4-3 power edge rusher for the Bengals.
That's the thing. And it could be Verse, but it could also be
Latu.
It could
favorite.
Also be, I mean, like, there will be a good edge rusher there for them.
I agree.
There's going to be somebody, like, you make this bet, it's not going to die early. You're going to be sweating this one out when they're on the clock.
Oh, that's my hope.
Yeah. I don't even think you need a hope. I think it's a lock. It doesn't mean they go that way.
O-line is the higher odds, but I like this a lot.
What are their receiver odds?
Oh, yeah. If you really want to call your shot, Brian Thomas.
I mean, the future with Higgins is kind of up in the air at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's good thinking right here. This is why we talk it out.
It
plus 700.
I might be worth teasing.
The thing is, what might pick be. Is that? Is that 18?
Yeah, but they could 20? Trade down, too.
18 sounds right.
18. So,
or up, even.
Yeah.
To me, at 18, the big three receivers are off the board.
Yes.
Only receiver draftable to me at that spot is Brian Thomas. I think you're reaching with so many. Like, I think there's another gap there. Those are all late 20s guys to me. So you're really calling your shot. In that world, I'd almost just take them to draft Brian Thomas in particular. If we
but
have
depending on who falls in the defensive, like, there's a world in which they potentially land one of those tackles and a receiver by trading down.
That's also true.
Like, maybe you just move down, you land one of these edges or tackles, and then, you know, you're comfortable in the, if you're an Xavier Worthy guy, mm-hmm. whatever, I'd rather have Leggett if I was in the late 20s, but.
Yeah.
Or Malachi Corley, or.
I know, it's going to be really interesting where Xavier Worthy goes. It's going to be really interesting where, with a first round pick, Sean Payton goes.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
It's fun to have a first round pick again.
It is.
It's a huge tone setter. In the top 15, nonetheless.
Yeah. Yes. In top 12, no less.
I know. And all around these trades and stuff, it's going to be beautiful. Tune in to Rams Pod right after this. Tune in to our live show. We're going live right at 6 once basically the Bears are on the clock. And we're going to have a blast.
Are we going to be back here tomorrow?
And we're going to be... Well, for a live day 2
for day
broadcast.
2, we don't have a morning show?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, then we'll see you tonight and tomorrow night.
And Saturday.
And Saturday.
Yeah. And J Mike and I in like a few minutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
all you Ram
exciting.
Fans.
That's right. All right.
Happy draft day to you all. Thank you to Raising Cane's for bringing this here podcast and all our draft coverage. And yeah, tune in to us live at 6. Subscribe to YouTube. Get all the videos that Zach makes from Dove Valley. Going to be an all hands on deck. Awesome, awesome night.
Yeah.
And we'll talk through it all with you live. So see you in a few. Bye.